Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk to Christian Cable of The Athletic. He covers the Washington Huskies. How you doing, Christian?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
My man, so I really like this football team. Now, I know that they struggled in that game of Jordan-Hare or wherever they played that game against Auburn. I thought it was down there, but they lost 21-16. But since then, they have gone on quite a roll. They destroyed everyone. They went to Salt Lake and beat Utah. I thought that was impressive. I took them in that game at Rice-Eccles. And then against Arizona State, they beat them by 7. BYU, they blew out. And then UCLA, I didn't think they looked as good, but I thought UCLA finally played a good football game for the first time for Chip Kelly. But the Huskies still won the game. What do you think of this roll they're on?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the problem areas that they identified coming out of that Auburn game, which was, you know, a little bit of miscommunication up front on the offensive line and, you know, not being able to get off the field a few times on third down. And, you know, the running game wasn't really totally clicking the way they wanted it to. I think they've kind of taken steps forward. The offensive line's gelling a little bit. They're playing without their star left tackle, Trey Adams, who had surgery early on and hasn't been available, but Jared Hilbers has kind of filled in for him. And, you know, they're communicating better. They seem to be on the page, same page a little bit more often. And as a result, they've run the ball well. I think Jake Browning's been able to sit back there and have a little bit more time to throw than he did in those first few games. And that's, I think, made him more confident, and he's been more efficient. And, you know, the defense is as talented as everybody thought it was. And, you know, kind of last week at UCLA was the one time since the Auburn game where they didn't really look all that dominant, but you know, for the most part, they've been lights out. So yeah, I think the offense is kind of starting to gel, starting to come together and maybe catch up to the level the defense has been playing at all season.
So they lead now in the North. They're undefeated in the conference, and they lead Stanford. And I thought Stanford has had a couple of bad games, if you ask me. And then now you're taking on Oregon, who is 1-1 in the conference. They're desperate, I think, at Outson in this football game, because, you know, they blew that 31-7 lead against Stanford. If they lose this game, basically they're done.
Yeah, certainly they're out of CFP contention with a loss, and it would be difficult. It would be a tough mountain for them to climb in the Pac-12 North standings as well. And, you know, I think just in terms of proving themselves as a real legit contender, you know, I watch Oregon. I really like them. I really like their offense, obviously. I mean, there's a lot to like about Justin Herbert. He looks like a real solid NFL prospect. He's big, got a big arm. He can run. He's athletic, move in the pocket, buy time for himself, and make every throw and all that. And so, you know, they got a lot of playmakers and a lot of talent. But I think their schedule is short on opportunities to really prove that they're for real in terms of, you know, getting a nice quality win against a ranked opponent, against a highly respected opponent. And, had a chance to do that against Stanford, and it slipped through their fingers a little bit. But now, of course, as you mentioned, even Stanford has kind of had some of their shine removed. So, yeah, I mean, this is a chance for them to avenge last two seasons, blowouts against Washington, and, you know, prove that Oregon's kind of back under Mario Cristobal in his first year. And, yeah, it should be a great environment at Austin Stadium, as it always is.
Do you think teams recover from games like that, that the Ducks blew that game against Stanford? Because I don't think they do.
You know, I definitely think that can be a factor the next week. But, you know, they seem to regroup in their next game and went out and beat a Cal team that I think is probably a little bit feistier than a lot of people assume. It had been pretty solid on defense and seemed to be coming along pretty well there and under Justin Wilcox. And, you know, they went into Berkeley and took care of them pretty well and put a bunch of points on the board and forced some turnovers. And so, you know, I think that they answered at least a few questions by kind of bouncing back and putting together a road win that way. But yeah, I mean, you know, the last time people saw Oregon sort of somewhere near the national stage was that Stanford game. So this is certainly an opportunity for them to kind of correct that.
So Christian Cable with us at The Athletic covers the Huskies. They play – it's a tough schedule. They go to outs, and then they have the Buffaloes of Colorado at home. Then they go to Berkeley. Then they got Stanford at home, Oregon State at home, and they finish, of course, with the Apple Cup at Pullman, I believe. Is that correct? That's a, kind of a brutal schedule the rest of the way, but I actually think this Washington team can handle it. I do think they're the best team in that conference, and I think they're going to handle their business.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. If you look at the schedule before the season, you know, the storyline going into that Auburn game was kind of, well, if they lose to Auburn, even if they run the table, would they be able to get into the playoff? You know, is their schedule going to be good enough? Are there going to be enough opportunities for quality wins? And, you know, when you talk about a quality win being a victory against a top 25 team, I don't know exactly how many of those they're going to end up being, but you list off their remaining schedule, and, I mean, every single one of those is going to be a challenge in its own way. You know, with the exception of maybe that Oregon State game, I don't know that there's another game left on the schedule where you look at and say, oh, they should win that by four touchdowns. You know, it's always a challenge going to Pullman. You know, they've handled Washington State pretty well since Chris Peterson's been there, but you know, you never know. They're playing well. They got another quarterback who really grasps that system well, and it's the Apple Cup. Anything can happen. You know, Colorado next week. They've climbed into the top 25 and got a quarterback in Steven Montez who can make some plays. Obviously, everybody knows about or is getting to know about Laviska Shenault. And, you know, but they got dudes that you got to worry about, and you kind of go on down the list. So, it'll be interesting to see at season's end, you know, if they do end up being a 10 or 11 win team, just how, you know, how their schedule is regarded nationally, because there are a number of teams in there who you look at and are like, yeah, you know, they might be able to get something done against them.
So, you know, Browning, he became the all-time leading passer in the school's history, and he's still got a lot to go, doesn't he? I mean, he could rack up some serious numbers at this school. He's already done it, and I was looking at the numbers of that game against BYU. I mean, they killed him. 409, 148 in yards, first downs 22-5, 8-3 per play to 4-5. And, you know, you already know what the score was. I mean, it seems to me like Browning's really getting a grip on what he needs to do with the Husky offense.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit in their first few games, I mean, particularly in that Auburn game and then in the win at Utah. In the ways that people have kind of seen him struggle over the last few years. And that's when the pass protection isn't there. There's pressure on him. And, you know, rather than kind of working his way up the pocket vertically and getting out and, you know, keeping his eyes downfield, moving forward, which he's pretty good at when he's able to, you know, he'd circle back and take a bad loss, had a really bad interception at Utah trying to do that. You know, these last few games, it seems like he's really been conscious about correcting those errors. You know, you haven't seen him do that one time. He was almost perfect against BYU. I mean, 23 for 25 and was really solid against Arizona State, threw three touchdown passes. And I thought played a pretty sound, you know, efficient game against UCLA. Did have one interception on a pass. He just threw too high for a guy. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it goes hand-in-hand with the offensive line with Jake Browning. But if they're run blocking, because they're always going to want to establish the run first under Chris Peterson. If they're run blocking and they set up the run and get Miles Gaskin going, they can work play action off of that. And when they give Jake Browning time to throw, especially on play action plays, he's been pretty deadly throughout his career.
So what do you think, how does this game play out at Outson? What do you think they're going to do in this game? Do you think they're going to try to get out in front of them? Are they just going to do what they normally do? Are they going to run their offense? What do they want to do against the Ducks on the road in such a hostile environment? Such a great place for college football, Outson and Eugene. It'll be rocking. Everybody will be hammered. It's going to be a crazy scene. What is their game plan going into this?
Yeah, you know, I think that the biggest thing is avoiding a slow start. You know, I don't know that they need to race out to a 14-0 start in the first quarter so much that I just kind of think that they need to prevent Oregon from doing that. I mean, I think it's big for them to not give up the first touchdown, you know, not fall behind by 7 or 14 points or whatever in the first quarter, but, you know, kind of establish their offense early, get something done with their scripted plays, get Miles Gaskin going, work that play action off of it, kind of get some confidence and maybe quiet the crowd right away with either a scoring drive or, you know, put together a few first downs instead of going three and out. I mean, I think it's simple stuff like that when you're on the road in an environment against a good team like Oregon. But beyond that, I mean, I think the biggest thing, they got to pressure Justin Herbert. You know, and this is as good as their defense has been and as few points as they've allowed. The kind of one weak spot so far has just been the pass rush hasn't quite been the same as it has been these last few years when they piled up so many sacks. And, you know, they only have 8 sacks so far through 6 games. And, you know, Justin Herbert obviously is not the kind of guy who you can give 3, 4, 5 seconds to every single time he drops back to throw or he's going to make something happen. So, you know, I think they gotta get after the passer. They can't let C.J. Verdell run crazy on them. And, you know, I think they got to establish the run offensively and get the play action going off of it.
I like this Ty Jones guy scoring touchdowns for him. Aaron Fuller's the guy that they throw to a lot, but the other guy's the one getting in the end zone.
Yeah, you know, he's 6'4", big, athletic, can jump, uses his body well. He kind of has a knack for winning those one-on-one matchups. He's made some. And right off the bat in the Auburn game, he caught 2 balls where there was pass interference called against the DB, and he caught it anyway. And he's a real nice threat for them in the red zone. I mean, I think there's even been a couple times they've gone to him where they've thrown that fade, and it's been a pretty decent throw, and the play has been there to be made. And, you know, a DB has made a great play to break it up, or he had it, got 2 hands on it, but couldn't quite haul it in. So as many great plays as he's made, I think there's room for improvement there, and the more that they target him, the more valuable he's going to become as a touchdown scorer, especially in the red zone.
So your coach, Peterson, he's been there, and now it seems like every year he's got the program, if you ask me, in the Pac-12. He's got a chance. Like, this is what, a couple years in a row here, they're a playoff contender, and they are still ranked in the, like, let's say, top 10 of teams that have a chance to make the playoff. They got to run the tables, obviously, but this guy is doing a hell of a job, just like he did at Boise, but he's doing it at a grander scale at Washington. I think the future of Washington Husky football is enormous right now with this guy running the football program.
Yeah, you know, I think the majority of Husky fans probably feel the same way. I think that 2016 season, you know, when you could kind of see it coming a little bit in 2015, Jake Browning was a true freshman. Miles Gaskin was a true freshman. They had all these young playmakers on defense. I mean, Buda Baker and Sidney Jones were sophomores, and Kevin King was a junior. And, you know, I think Vita Vea was a redshirt freshman that year. And, I mean, he just had talent across the board that was really young. And they went 7-6 and kind of got better and better throughout the year. And you kind of went into that offseason thinking like, okay, you know, this looks like they really do have the pieces to put this thing together. And they wound up, you know, going 12-2 and making the playoff. And I think from there, everybody really realized, okay, like as long as Chris Peterson sticks around, it looks like this program is in pretty good shape. And, you know, I think the biggest key for them is to just kind of take their recruiting maybe one notch up where, you know, they're more consistently winning those battles for those 4-star players in California against USC and against Oregon and against any of the SEC or ACC schools that creep into that territory. And, you know, they've been doing that to an extent, and they've recruited Hawaii really well, especially in this 2019 class. And, you know, I think that's going to be important, an important region for them to continue to be successful recruiting. And, you know, the one thing I think, if I were a Husky fan, that I would look at is just, you look at those current recruiting rankings, and I think Oregon's ranked 4th right now. They're in the top 5 somewhere. I mean, they've got a bunch of commitments from top 100 guys, and, you know, USC is always going to be USC. They're always going to be a force to be reckoned with on the recruiting trail. And, you know, you figure if Oregon really becomes a player and Cristobal gets it going there and they string together a couple of these top 10 type classes, you know, that could become another real force you have to deal with in the Pac-12 North. Don't say nothing of, you know, David Shaw's staying power at Stanford. So, you know, I don't think there's not going to be anything handed to him, you know, but they absolutely have become a program that I think UW fans should reasonably expect to be in position to compete for a division title every year.
So you think they'll win this game?
You know, I went back and forth all week. I ended up picking Washington by a point, which I don't love picking against the stat of, you know, a team playing the second of a back-to-back two consecutive road games, playing the second of those games against a team that is coming off of its bye week. That usually doesn't go well for the road team in those scenarios. But, I just think Washington kind of improved some certain things week by week. Even though last week the score didn't really show it, I think there were some things that offensively they kind of continued to build on against UCLA. And, I think that their running game is good enough at this point, and Jake Browning's looked confident enough, and, that secondary is talented enough that, I think they take it in a close one. I'm not quite there on Oregon yet in terms of their ability to take down an experienced, talented opponent like Washington, especially one with, a top five, top 10 caliber defense. So I would not be at all surprised to see Oregon win. I might wish I could change my mind two or three more times before kickoff, but I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I think this is a great matchup. I think these two teams match up really well, and I think everybody's in for a treat come 12:30 Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Christian, great stuff tonight, brother. Awesome job. I'll catch up with you again real soon.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
All right, Christian Cable of The Athletic covers the Washington Huskies with us on a bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.